In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, September 9th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Missed talking to you yesterday because of the Washington Nationals baseball game, and it was especially unfortunate because they lost 3-2. I don't mind as much when my show is preempted by Nationals baseball and they win, but that unfortunately was not the case yesterday. Nonetheless, we're back today, and in hour number two, former Energy Department Chief Information Officer Woody Hall, I had a chance to talk to him here in the studio yesterday during the ball game, and we talked about a lot of issues of concern to chief information officers across government. So you'll hear part of that conversation in hour number two of the program today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Hour number one, as we always devoted to on Thursday, is devoted today to industry chatter. My guest is Paul Strasser, Senior Vice President of Strategic Development for Dynamics Research Corporation. And Paul, it's great to see you again. We were talking before we went on the air that the last time you were here must have been a year and a half or so ago or more, because we were in the teeny little studios and we were on a whole different frequency then. We were not even on 1500 AM. So it's great to see you in the new digs.
Well, thanks a lot, Francis. It's great to be here and be in this nice new studio you have here.
Well, thank you. It's the best I've ever been in the 25 years I've been in this business, and I'm glad to have you in it today. When you were here before, you were at a different place. You're now with Dynamics Research Corporation, as I said at the top. Talk about what the company does, what services you provide to agencies.
Very good. DRC is a provider of innovative management consulting, engineering, and technology solutions to federal and state government agencies. Our business focuses on some core markets that are of strategic importance to us, and that's been part of a strategy we've been focused on for some time. This has helped to transform the company over the past few years and is part of a continuing process to transform the company as we move forward with this administration and in the future challenges that the government faces. And those focus areas for us are in the areas of homeland security, financial regulatory reform, healthcare, cybersecurity, of course, and the intelligence community.
What is on the horizon when it comes to healthcare? What kind of things are you working with agencies on in that area?
Well, we're involved in several different areas. We actually work not only on the IT side of the house, but we actually have people on staff that are medical professionals, clinicians, and others. And we're doing several things for mainly on the military health side of the house. We recently are involved in a job that is around the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And so we're doing some work there that is important to those folks over there and to the veterans. We're also involved in a lot of continuous process improvement initiatives, Lean Six Sigma, which is part of our business transformation initiatives, mm-hmm. to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the government and the processes that they use in order to conduct their business.
All right, give me the thumbnail on Lean Six Sigma for somebody who hears it floating around and hears the management types talking about it and is, you know, elbow deep in whatever it is that their job is, not necessarily management.
The best way I could describe it, and I'm not an expert in the subject, but Lean Six Sigma is basically a way to measure processes and then get to a point where the reliability and the output is in a place where the standard deviation of the measurement is within bounds or tolerances that you expect. Mm-hmm. In other words, so that you can make processes highly repeatable and efficient and effective as you run through those and conduct those processes.
How are the agencies doing at being able to automate some of these processes, not just to measure them, but to actually perform them?
I think there's a lot of tools out there these days that people use to do that. IT obviously is a big help in this regard. Workflow tools, other tools that really tie into their systems today. There is still a lot of processes in the government that depend on some very old processes that haven't been necessarily re-engineered, mm-hmm. and are still being, are still out there in a world where there's paper-based and a lot of paper-based workflow. So there's still a long way to go, although there's been some very good changes that have occurred over the recent years and still some more to come.
As these transformations are made, especially the paper to digital transitions, These are the IT projects that sometimes turn into the things that wind up in the headlines at the top of the hour on this radio station is not working out so well. Overall, are you seeing a trend in trying to, the term that has been used is to chunk these programs and instead of doing, we're going to build the biggest thing ever in the history of the world and it's going to take us 15 years. Let's do an 18-month timeline, see where we stand then, see where technology has moved then, and then think about building the second piece of it.
Yeah, I think it's actually the right thing to do. It's something that actually was part of the transition team. It became very obvious during the administration change and during transition in the November-December timeframe back a year and a half ago. And the thought was these large programs just sometimes are too cumbersome and too hard to manage. They also run into potential budget issues as appropriations, change on the Hill. So the fact is they wanted to break these things into smaller pieces to make them more manageable. I actually applaud that as a technique. I think there's a lot that can be done. I also believe that when you break them into smaller pieces and you look at it, it fits with the mode that we're developing systems today, which is around agile development, iterative development, spiral development. And so it all fits together in a very nice fashion to get the results that you need to drive towards.
Tell me about those terms, agile development, iterative development. I can't even say it right. Iterative development. And the third one was?
I think I said spiral development.
And what do those mean?
Well, they're really different terms for slightly different techniques around the same basic idea. And the idea is that you basically build a little, you test a little, and then you build on what you already built. So you deliver it in small pieces, and you constantly are making whatever you already built better.
Mm-hmm.
So there are various software development life cycles for doing that. One of the big ones is Rational Unified Process, or RUP. There's several others as well. But agile development is sort of a newer form of that. And in agile development, there's a whole bunch of new techniques where they do something called test-driven development. The concept there is to actually develop the test cases and the scripts for testing prior to even building the source code for the application,
mm-hmm.
so that you immediately can figure out whether the thing is working the way you intended,
right.
and you can quickly integrate and test the code and know right off the bat whether it's correct or incorrect.
It makes a lot of sense. I have said for a long time, we don't do a lot of politics on this station, particularly on this show, but I've said for a long time that I think a lot of the citizen anger toward government that people have doesn't have anything to do with ideology, and it has everything to do with competence. And the idea of some of these projects taking 10 years, not working, and even if they did work perfectly, being obsolete by the time they go online, I think enough of those stories have been told, fairly or unfairly, that the average citizen, that's where the unhappiness comes from, not really with left or right or red or blue or any of that jazz. I think that's a much smaller factor. It sounds like this is the kind of thing, some of these management techniques are the kind of thing that really put the kibosh to that idea. Absolutely. Nothing can get big enough to go that wrong.
Absolutely. I think as an example of that, I mean, at FDIC, they've got this tremendous new need with all the regulatory reform coming down and all the scrutiny and all the increase in amount of work that they've had to do over the past couple of years. You know, we've been involved with FDIC in a project called BAMS for some time,
mm-hmm.
and we're on the front end of their Rational Unified Process and helping them define their business requirements and their technology needs to support the bank supervision, to support the resolution and receivership and the deposit insurance parts of their mission. So, DRC is directly involved in that, as well as cybersecurity for DHS, rolling out a policy and dashboard so that they can quickly move the change they need in order to comply with FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act, and quickly get that large organization all rowing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that we've been working in directly in response in that area.
You mentioned a term that sets industry people on edge whenever they hear it when it comes to government, and that is defining requirements. And I want to explore any progress that you think might be being made when it comes to defining requirements for contracts when we come back. My guest is Paul Strasser on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. He's with Dynamics Research Corporation, DRC, and our conversation continues in a moment.
President Obama initiated an overhaul of the federal hiring process in May 2010, directing OPM agencies and hiring managers to improve efficiency of hiring and quality of hires. But what does this mean? Join the Alliance for Hiring Reform on Thursday, September 16th at noon for a free one-hour webinar to learn about the President's memorandum and how your agency can develop an effective and efficient workforce assessment strategy that's aligned with this important initiative. The webinar will address principles of good assessment, describe the types of assessments agencies should use to evaluate talent, and answer questions from participants about their own hiring and assessment strategies. To register for this free event, visit hiringreform.org. That's hiringreform.org. The Alliance for Hiring Reform is a collaboration between PDRI, a previsor company, HumRO, and Aon Consulting. The alliance was established to address current and upcoming hiring reform needs. Visit hiringreform.org today to register.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
As government and commercial companies continue to improve their business processes, they're finding that IT requirement analysis, market reviews, product selection, and ongoing operations are taxing the resource base of their employees. TMR is here to help. TMR provides enterprise architecture, governance, and IT operational support to ensure our customers' IT investments are aligned with specific business goals, objectives, and capital investment strategies. For more details, visit TMR at tmrhq.com or call 703-323-1700.
You're the master and commander. You've got the helm. You rule with one touch in a million places. With Verizon, you control your small business with America's largest push-to-talk coverage area. You touch, you connect, and push the boundaries of push-to-talk.
Now, buy one BlackBerry Bold for only $149.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get another Bold free. Or get a rugged Samsung Convoy or Motorola Barrage free after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, for a limited time, the Bold comes with free push-to-talk monthly service.
Dominate the marketplace with massive coverage and group connections to up to 50 people.
Sign up for commanding push-to-talk coverage. Speak with a small business specialist at any Verizon Wireless store. Visit verizonwireless.com/smallbusiness or call 1-800-BZW4BIZ.
Rule the air. Verizon.
All phones require new two-year activation on a voice plan. BlackBerry requires data pack $29.99 or higher. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Challenge.gov. It just launched. We're going to talk to an expert who can tell you some do's and don'ts for carrying out an effective challenge. And if you want to bring about change, have fewer goals. That's one of the recommendations coming from Harvard's Kennedy School and Booz Allen Hamilton. We'll talk to one of the people behind a report on change in government this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Strasser, Senior Vice President of Strategic Development for Dynamics Research Corporation, is my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we were talking before the break about defining requirements. This has been a challenge for industry probably since the Constitution was written and companies started to do business with this actual official government. The agencies sometimes can get distracted by what they think they need or what they want as opposed to what they really need. It's one of the reasons that Martha Johnson has talked about collaboration so much since she's taken the top job at GSA. Are things getting better in this area, do you think, Paul?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is that although it's not as newsworthy, there's a lot of great work that goes on in the federal government and in the federal contracting community. We do some great stuff for some really important missions, and there's a lot of successes that we sometimes forget about. But in regard to that, I mean, just the Martha Johnson and GSA, I always think of collaboration and early and often communication ahead of an RFP as one of the most important things. And when you talk about GSA, I'm thinking of Jim Williams and you know, his legacy. He was a very open communicator with industry. There was a collaboration that used to go on with Jim and I think with Martha and others now. And I think the more we do that, you know, respecting the FAR and the procurement rules around, you know, discussions, if we do that, we'll get to the right answer, the right solution, the right requirements for the systems, and we'll get there in a way that, that leads to the best competition as well.
I had a colleague of yours in industry say off the record to me not long ago that history will prove, this person believes, that the FAR for that reason was more harm than good, because it kind of built this wall, imaginary, but it built in people's minds, especially the acquisition professionals' minds, this idea that we shouldn't talk to industry before we put the paperwork on the street. And that's been long-term more harm than good.
Yeah, I think there's a, because the downside to a contract, contracting officer or another procurement, you know, professional, is the downside is so much, is so much greater than the upside. So, you know, I think sometimes they behave in a way that, that you, you would expect and is natural. That said, those rules were put in place for some very good reasons. And there's been, you know, many cases of unscrupulous behavior that it's trying to solve.
Sure.
So I think there's still, there's a lot of people that advocate for this. Steve Kelman, I think of others that are advocating for the kind of dialogues and commercial practices that are out there that can still be used. And I think the pendulum swings back and forth from sort of, a more rigid structure to one that's more open and collaborative. And I think we, you know, should always strive for that communication so we can get to those requirements so that we can have the successes during project execution.
What has been the reason for your optimism about the progress that's being made when it comes to requirements?
I think, you know, just being around for a while, performance-based contracting has some very good, qualities to it. There's still some challenges in getting those objectives stated correctly and allowing the contractor to respond to those objectives to build the systems along that line. That said, I mean, just from experience, call it a gut feel, I don't know. I think it's certainly the case.
It's been so problematic in this, but some agencies obviously more than others, for so long, that I guess hearing an encouraging word is good when it comes to this, because it's just been easy for agencies to get stuck in cycles with some of these.
I mean, recently, I would give you an example, the work that Soraya Correa and others are doing over at DHS with the Eagle 2 procurement. I mean, there's been a lot of dialogue. There has been a lot of thought and a lot of industry involvement in discussions and draft RFPs and back and forth. So, you know, I mean, I think that that's an example of where we're headed and the kinds of good things that are going on. Dynamics Research Corporation, DRC, is very involved. Eagle is one of our biggest contracts. We do a tremendous amount of work under Eagle 1 today. We're very enthusiastic and look forward to the Eagle 2 RFP coming out here soon, I hope.
You're not the only one.
And competing on that. So, but that's a good example of some good things that have gone on recently in this regard.
We only have about a minute left. What in your view has made Eagle 1 work as well as it, as you say it's worked?
I think a couple things. I mean, the original buckets that they had set aside, there was five categories. They picked some of the best contractors in each of those buckets, similar to what they're going to do in Eagle 2. So you had the right providers, you know, addressing the requirements of the agency. It was a mandatory vehicle as far as for requirements. And so it really brought together the best in breed on one, on the industry side, along with the right requirements on the government side. So I think it worked really well. And for us, it was very successful. We did about $90 million in business under that vehicle.
Paul Strasser of Dynamics Research Corporation, my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When our conversation continues, we will talk about the acquisition workforce, the state of it today, and where he sees it headed when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio 1500 AM, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics and your source for federal news now.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
Cybersecurity tools can be powerful aids in helping you monitor your network, but they don't replace human experience and intuition. Here's Colin Clark, senior cybersecurity analyst for Forrester Research.
Tools help along this process, but tools will not be able to make the decision for you. Tools are not going to give you your risk appetite. So there's a human element involved, and there's a process element involved.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
What about the Obama administration's open government directive? How does embracing new technology foster an open government agenda? What is the U.S. General Services Administration doing to be more transparent, collaborative, and accountable? Listen next week as these topics and more will be explored with Dr. David McClure, Associate Administrator of the Office of Citizen Services and Communications at the U.S. General Services Administration. Join host Michael Keegan next week for this encore edition of the Business of Government Hour.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Here's Richard Bow, Information Technology Director at FAA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Building Government's Future Infrastructure, sponsored by Riverbed Technology.
I do see a lot of managed services, cloud, outsourcing. I see kind of a convergence between the NAS, the National Airspace, and all the supporting information that supports it, so that the data needed to do air traffic operations is available everywhere on demand by anybody who's authorized to see it.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How do you consolidate IT without compromising performance? Make it happen with Riverbed. With our WAN optimization solutions, you can virtualize your government data center with ease. Plug and play in as little as 15 minutes. Cut IT costs up to 30%. Accelerate agency applications up to 100 times and keep data safe and secure. Learn more and download a free white paper at riverbed.com/virtualization. Riverbed. Think fast.
Plan now to attend Affirm and GuideTech's September 16th Educational Forum on Data Center Optimization. You'll learn from government peers how to optimize federal data centers by effectively managing organizational change. Affirm's September event will be held downtown at the Hamilton Crown Plaza Hotel at 14th and K Street, Northwest, from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register today at affirm.org. That's affirm.org.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Paul Strasser of Dynamics Research Corporation is my guest on Industry Chatter today on In Depth, and we're talking about the acquisition workforce here. And you mentioned in the previous break the challenges that some of those issues are presenting for doing business with the government. Everybody that I talk to says it takes 5 to 7 years to get good people in government. There doesn't seem to be a consensus about what makes a good acquisition professional, about what's on the resume to make a hiring manager in government say, this person would be good for our core, for our acquisition core. There seems to be a lot of kind of fluidity to the whole situation with the workforce. Are you seeing that from the inside too?
Yeah, I am. I think that they still have some challenges. It's a big need. It drives government, the procurement, and there's probably a lot of change that has to occur, more in depth. But those are very hard things to change. But let me tell you about something really innovative that's going on and that DRC is a part of. Over at CBP, the Customs and Border Protection, out of the procurement shop, John Ely is the leader there. And we actually put in some knowledge management systems for that division, and it's now gone across the office using SharePoint and collaborative technologies around knowledge management. So in other words, even if your workforce is not as experienced as you'd like, mm-hmm. if you can capture the knowledge and create the kind of tools that make it easy for less experienced folks to be successful in creating the procurements and the requirements and the contracting, then that's another innovative way to look at the problem that's out there. Mm-hmm. So we actually have developed a knowledge management system for CBP, and it is highly acclaimed. John's a big fan, and I think it proves the point that there are some alternatives to how we can tackle some of the problems that are out there, because we can't wait 6 or 7 years.
Right, and that was actually going to be my next question, is what do we do in that meantime, because we don't have that amount of time when we're in a situation. It would be one thing if we were still procuring primarily things. Mm-hmm. But the whole concept of trying to weigh proposal A versus proposal B when neither of them contains any of the same elements is the big challenge that companies that are trying, especially services companies, are telling me. A lot of these people that I deal with just don't know how to weigh apples versus oranges because it's not written out in FAR, and that's what people are doing in a lot of cases.
Well, and that's the real trick. I mean, you have to get an apples-to-apples comparison. Otherwise, all kinds of bad things can happen. And I think we're in a world today where there's going to be tighter budgets going forward. There's going to be a lot of cost-cutting. Efficiency is going to be key, not only in technology but around human capital. So one of the things we have to do is, the evaluation around procurements is got to weigh the competition aspects to have good requirements and procurement strategies, but also looking at costs. Is it going to become more of an evaluated criteria than it's been in the past mm-hmm. as we go forward? But today, the world is evolving with the advent of some of the legislation on the Hill today around contractor performance and this new system called FAPIS, which is actually very good, and the more stringent requirements around CPARS, which is our past performance database that the government uses to evaluate contractors. I think there's always been this need to drive your costs lower to win competitions, mm-hmm. but now performance is becoming more so than ever a very tangible thing that they can look at. So I think it's going to be a very interesting era coming up here, trading off cost versus performance, and the contractors that can truly do the solution and make it repeatable and can do it at a fair cost and still perform. that's going to be the key, because a lot of people still, you know, bid to the requirements that are there, and then they, you know, they change the requirements later on.
Right.
And that's the part of the problem that's out there. So I think as we're entering a new era, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch, and I think the really good companies will emerge out of that and be successful.
Do you think Congress is executing its role properly when it comes to the business-to-government relationship with some of this legislation?
I don't want to comment on that. I think it's an important dynamic, and certainly performance is important. I can just speak for Dynamics Research Corporation and what we do. We actually look at our CPARS scores in total, and we measure our performance for all of our customers and all our scores, and we keep very close tabs on that, making sure that we have our performance is the best it can be. That's job one. And by doing that, then we're assuring ourselves of our future and making sure that we don't have to be concerned about those other things.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about cybersecurity, because everybody in the universe seemingly is talking about cybersecurity. Are we finally getting to a point where the agencies are able to take a proactive approach to cybersecurity, to keeping their networks safe, as opposed to the reactive place that we've been for a long time?
Yeah, I think there is some real positives on the upside. We're getting more sophisticated. I think there's more budgets being associated with the cybersecurity challenge. I remember, you know, 7-8 years ago when there was an unfunded mandate that the CIOs had to take out a hide in order to meet all the CNA requirements for all the systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a very tough time to get all that work done without having any additional dollars. So I think there's more attention being paid. I think there is more proactivity. There's better tools available. At the same time, I would say the threat is increasing at a very rapid rate. There's many things going on in the environment. You have much more sophisticated threats. They're more easily accessible to people in this world, and the world is getting smaller. So there's those challenges. As we move from IPv4 to IPv6, there's some challenges around that and some of the securing of the network. I think the other thing I would just mention is that Dynamics Research Corporation has been involved as a management consulting company and as a technology company addressing the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
Security is a big problem, and it includes it includes process, it includes people, and it includes technology. And so if you don't take a holistic view and you don't work what we call defense in depth, then you're still going to be challenged to meet the requirements in order to secure the systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from our management consulting background, you know, risk management, which is the new move in government towards this risk management framework and continuous monitoring in a real-time basis, you know, we're just really well prepared, because risk management is part of a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so applying those principles across this holistic dynamic of people, process, and technology, and then implementing those changes, you know, we just fit right in the sweet spot of that and have had great success at places like the Department of Homeland Security.
I like the name Defense in Depth for obvious reasons. That's a great name for anything.
It's been around a long time.
Yeah, it's great. I want to talk about each one of those three components of cybersecurity when we come back from the break. My guest is Paul Strasser of Dynamics Research Corporation on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The Army has a new track in Maryland to test safety for war-fighting vehicles. The Aberdeen Proving Ground, just north of Baltimore, is the Pentagon's first flat, contiguous track for sustained high-speed vehicle testing. Convoys in war zones have to travel long distances at high rates of speed to counter enemy threats. But until now, the military has not had a way to test all of its vehicles at high speeds for extended periods of time. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered about the logistics required to travel
travel by air from one location to another. Last year in the U.S. alone, more than 821 billion passenger miles were flown in and out of 20,000 airports. Behind the scenes, this requires 15,000 air traffic controllers to support 590,000 pilots with air-to-ground communications. Eric understands this better than anyone. For nearly eight decades, Eric has worked to develop and advance aviation communications around the world, resulting in reduced congestion. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Today's Emergency Preparedness Series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
September is National Preparedness Month, so the Small Business Administration is encouraging everyone to create their own disaster preparedness plan. That includes having adequate insurance, a survival kit, and copies of important records. Being prepared also means to be sure that everyone at your home and office knows how to evacuate. Are you prepared? I'm Mark Seagraves.
Did you know that floods are the number one natural disaster in America? The D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency wants to help you prepare now for the flood risks that come with hurricanes, tropical storms, and other severe summer weather. Learn the difference between a flood watch and a flood warning. Gather supplies for your storm kit and create a family emergency plan. To learn more about preparing for floods, including information on flood insurance, visit 72hours.dc.gov. Be ready, D.C.
Newsmakers talk to Max Kakis on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch on the federal pay dispute.
I think, you know, a lot of it is hogwash. And when you look at what some folks in the federal on the federal side, engineers, scientists, especially our higher skilled folks, they are at a deficit.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. And we're enjoying some industry chatter with Paul Strasser of Dynamics Research Corporation today, talking about cybersecurity. And you specified three elements of cybersecurity, process, people, and technology. Let's start with my favorite one, and that's the people. We were talking during the break about the guy that stuck, I guess it's a guy, it's not fair necessarily to disparage all men by the actions of this person, we'll say, who put a thumb drive in the DoD network somewhere in the Middle East. It was corrupt, and a lot of information went to a lot of people who shouldn't have that information off the DoD network. This was happened in 2008. Secretary Lynn announced it a couple of weeks ago. Isn't it fair to say in 2010 that that's just not acceptable and people should by now know better? I'm not proposing, obviously, ending training and education efforts, but at some point can't we say, come on, that's not reasonable?
Yeah, I think that a big part of the security challenge is around people. I think proper training and readiness and just common sense and just getting people really just to be aware of what's going on in the world around them, you know, makes a lot of sense. Whether it's opening an attachment on an email or other things that can occur, just not following procedure with respect to your IT systems can open up the, you know, the risks that are out there waiting to pounce on, you know, those kinds of human errors. So I think there's a lot more that can be done in this area. There's all kinds of different techniques that can be used. DRC does a lot of training and readiness. That's what we do, mostly for the military, the Navy, the Army. We build full-up simulations and war games, you know, for getting people ready for battle. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we do more of that for getting people ready for the cyber battle?
Yeah.
You know, and it could be as simple as a pop-up daily on your computer, also known as Tips of the Day, mm-hmm. which is I know at State Department they're doing that, and John over there, who's done a great job and was really, to me, in some ways the father of continuous monitoring. So the people aspect's important, and we need to attack that.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the video games and stuff. Melissa Hathaway was here last week, and we were talking about the idea that to attract cybersecurity professionals, there's one kid I have in mind in particular who's a buddy of my son, who's 10. She was talking about creating video games aimed at that age group
to even make them aware that cybersecurity professions are a potential option. I mean, I don't think there are many kids running around in my kid's fifth grade class going, I'm going to be a cybersecurity defender when I grow up or anything like that. But it's a legitimate career path now.
Yeah, that's part of the cyber challenge. Karen Evans, former federal CIO, it's about involving the young people. What's an interesting twist on what you just said is when I was visiting down with the simulation and wargaming people, they're actually build these controllers for the soldiers to go through their simulations and train and be ready for battle. Mm-hmm. And they actually use like Xbox controllers.
Yeah.
So they've now gotten to the point, instead of going away from that, they want to go towards it. Like, let's say you could be flying a UAV.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what kids grow up using and they're so adept at moving those knobs and buttons, why won't we make that the universal interface for all of our systems that are out there?
I think that makes perfect sense.
So it's an interesting little twist on it, in making our young people ready for the world of, maybe the mission of government.
Well, the kid I'm thinking of is my son's best friend, and he went to video game camp this summer. It was his choice for camp, and he wants to design video games for a career. And when Melissa said that, I said, I guarantee you, if you put it on a DS cartridge, my kid would play it, and his buddy would play it, and there's a lot of people out there that would play it if that were available by someone. So there you go, something for you to work on. Developing those professionals, though, obviously we don't have time to wait until a 10-year-old is ready to enter the workforce. We need to turn out a whole bunch of them pretty soon. DHS has said they want to hire something like 8,800 cybersecurity professionals in the next however long. Jeff Neal announced that not too long ago. Where are they going to come from?
So there's going to have to be training because mm-hmm. they're just not out there. And the people that are out there, the market's very tight anyway. So there has to be a tremendous, more money being spent and more emphasis being placed on training people with the right requisite skills to become cyber professionals. In industry, we've looked at this problem for many years, and we like to center on people that are network engineers, CCNAs, those types of people. That's the way we're doing it at DRC. And in fact, we've even, a part of our strategic initiative around cyber, we're building out an integration lab. It's called the DRC Center for Cybersecurity Innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we're putting certain tools that to teach people, how to do penetration testing, how to do vulnerability scanning, other factors that are involved in the cybersecurity professional tool chest, and teaching them the kinds of things that they need to know in order to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Cybersecurity, a big challenge, and we'll talk about it some more with Paul Strasser, Senior Vice President of Strategic Development at Dynamics Research Corporation, when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Congress left town for summer break without completing work on a final telework bill, but that doesn't mean you won't be able to telework. Your best bet is your agency telework coordinator. Agencies have designated telework coordinators who are supported by the Office of Personnel Management. Many agencies also have telework coordinators at the sub-agency levels. I'm Amy Morris.
The beginning of another year is the best time to review the state of your financial affairs. Unfortunately, many individuals overlook one of the most important aspects of their financial plan, life insurance. For example, do you have enough life insurance? If the worst should happen, could your family keep their home, maintain their lifestyle, and could your children attend college? WEPA provides better insurance, better prices, and better value. For information, visit WAEPA.org. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday mornings at 10, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You're the master and commander. You've got the helm. You rule with one touch in a million places.
With Verizon, you control your small business with America's largest push-to-talk coverage area. You touch, you connect, and push the boundaries of push-to-talk.
Now, buy one BlackBerry Bold for only $149.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get another Bold free. Or get a rugged Samsung Convoy or Motorola Barrage free after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, for a limited time, the Bold comes with free push-to-talk monthly service.
Dominate the marketplace with massive coverage and group connections to up to 50 people.
Sign up for commanding push-to-talk coverage. Speak with a small business specialist at any Verizon Wireless store. Visit VerizonWireless.com/smallbusiness or call 1-800-BZW4BIZ.
Rule the air. Verizon.
All phones require new two-year activation on a voice plan. BlackBerry requires data pack $29.99 or higher. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Openly exchange ideas and develop solutions for today's toughest technology challenges at the 20th Annual Executive Leadership Conference, October 24th through the 26th in Williamsburg, Virginia. ELC offers a government-driven, educational, and neutral forum where government and industry IT executives can contribute to actionable solutions in healthcare, sustainability, cybersecurity, and accountability. Register today at actgov.org/ELC2010. ELC, advancing the business of government.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm here with Paul Strasser, Senior Vice President of Strategic Development for Dynamics Research Corporation. We were talking about cybersecurity and your view of the three elements of it. We talked about the people. Let's take a minute and just talk about the process and the technology. I think we've talked about technology to some degree, not formally as one of these points, but indirectly throughout the course of the program today. What's important about the process that you think a lot of people don't pay attention to?
Well, I think that, the policy has to fit together with, how you attack the risks that are out there. So the policy framework, the process by which you, you secure your systems and then report on those and assess those on a continuous basis, that's what's important. This idea of continuous monitoring is a great idea. It's centered around the consensus audit guidelines, it's really a risk management problem. Let's take the 20 big risk areas and let's look at our processes and our systems against those criteria, and then let's secure and continuously audit against those criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some good ideas out there in the area of process.
Before we get away from cyber, just real quickly on technology, how has technology changed over the last maybe 2 years, and what do you see on the horizon?
So I think there's so many new tools out there, vulnerability management and event management around incidents is a big deal. There is deep packet inspection is a new buzzword. It's a very hot item right now. Idea of Einstein 2 and Einstein 3,
mm-hmm.
and looking at your network traffic and then trying to figure out, what's going on. This is the kind of really cool stuff that everybody wants to be involved in. It's important stuff. I think there's some a lot of good technologies out there. It's still maturing, and I think it's important. But some of those are challenged by what they do from a performance of the network standpoint. And so we have to be careful that we how we implement those and make sure that they still lead to the right endpoint.
We could do a whole hour on analysis of Einstein 2 and 3, and actually that might not be a bad idea at some point. But I want to wrap up by just finding out about what you do, because I have found doing this series that just about every company does something or is involved somewhere that people would say, I had no idea and would have never guessed that a company like that would also do that or be involved here or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a story do you have to tell there?
Well, let me just say a couple of things. So first of all, I'm really pleased to be here on the air today, because DRC is a 55-year-old company. It's been publicly traded for 45 years. We're pretty much, on a large extent, an unknown commodity in this town, and yet we do some really good work for the Defense Department, for the Intel community, for the Department of Homeland Security and the civilian agencies. So there's a lot going on there, and I'm glad that we could talk about that today. Furthermore, as the Senior Vice President for Strategic Development, my job is to help look forward and set out our strategies so that we're reacting and being prepared for the future. So we're focused on the core markets that are successful for us, whether it's financial regulatory reform, cybersecurity, healthcare. Those are all important markets going forward. Furthermore, DRC is really focused on Washington, D.C. Although we're headquartered in Massachusetts, Washington, D.C. is the center of attention for us right now, and it has been for some time. So we're putting a lot of emphasis here in the D.C. area. We just set up a new office in D.C. To be co-located with the Department of Homeland Security, one of our main customers. And we're furthermore looking to consolidate our offices in Arlington, Crystal City, and Reston into an Arlington location, and then, you know, be very close to our customers and our employees. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, we have offices in Columbia all the way down to Dumfries and even down at Fort Lee. So there's a lot going on. We're also focused in the M&A area to look for those strategic market types of companies and bring them to bear in the Washington, D.C. area to help grow into these strategic markets as they are going through their growth curve and that inflection point of growing their business.
M&A, a little tough right now because there's a lot of other people that think that the time is right to look for these kind of partnerships or collaborations or buyouts or whatever you want to call them.
It's a tremendously busy period right now. I would tell you there's a tremendous number of properties for sale right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of competition for those properties. And in fact, the reason mainly is because of the impending capital gains tax changes that are coming. So a lot of people that were on the fence are now putting the for sale signs out. So
we only have about 30 seconds left, but I find it fascinating that we're at a time. Normally you have a lot of companies for sale and nobody wants to buy them, or we have a lot of buyers, nothing available, and to have a lot of buyers and a lot of sellers at the same time, I find that dynamic to be just fascinating.
The last point I wanted to make, Francis, before I leave, is community involvement is really important to us, social responsibility. I'm the team captain for DRC's support for the Walk for Autism, which is on the National Mall on November 6th. And we're now in seventh place in D.C., I'm proud to say. So we're seventh position in the D.C. area. And so for those of you that are listening, I hope you can give generously to the cause, the fight for autism. It's something that affects my life and is personally important to me. And I thank you for your time today.
Happy to do it. Enjoyed having you on the show again. Paul Strasser, Senior Vice President of Strategic Development for Dynamics Research Corporation. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Back for hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Former Energy CIO Woody Hall, my guest in hour number two on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.